Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hi, everybody. My name is Janelle Friday. I am the founder of Lionheart CS, where we focus on tactical emotional intelligence training and application. I'm so excited to be here with you today at this H2H event where we are focusing on the human connection. Today, we're going to talk about how connection is currency and how we're going to use emotional intelligence for business success. So here's a thought. If strategy alone guaranteed success, we would all be winning. But we're not. Deals are slipping, customers are leaving, and teams are disengaged. Why? Because businesses are ignoring their most valuable asset, the human connection. The Gallup organization estimates that actively disengaged employees cost American economy about $350 billion annually in lost productivity, encompassing absenteeism, illness, and other issues arising from low workplace morale. According to the Courageous Leadership Hub, approximately 76% of employee engagement scores are predicted by the emotional intelligence of leaders. Low engagement correlates with reduced productivity and profitability. But here's some good news. 90% of top performing employees have high EQ, according to TalentSmart. Sales teams trained in EQ outperform peers by 91%. That's from Harvard Business School. Emotionally connected leaders and connect with customers, those customers are worth 52% more in lifetime value. That source is Gallup. Companies with high EQ leadership report a 22% higher profitability. That's also Harvard Business Review. And last but not least, employees with high EQ are 4 times less likely to leave their jobs. That comes from Yale Center of Emotional Intelligence. Companies obsess over strategy, processes, and efficiency, but they often neglect emotional connections that drive retention, loyalty, and revenue. Every lost deal, every disengaged employee, and every churned customer, somewhere in that process, an emotional cue is ignored. Because businesses aren't purely logical. They are driven by people, and people are inherently emotional beings. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had a conversation with someone where emotions weren't present? I'm betting you can't. Most conversations, either I'm feeling a certain way or you're feeling a certain way, whether that emotion comes across my face, in my tone, in my body language, there are always cues to how other people are feeling. The question is, do you know how to see and recognize those cues to shift the conversation to accommodate or identify those emotions to make sure you're leading that conversation in the right way? The quality of your relationships will determine the quality of your results personally and professionally. And we all know the Maya Angelou quote, "People don't remember what you say. They remember how you make them feel." As AI is encroaching in every aspect of business by increasing efficiency, automating tasks, and refining customer engagement, the one thing AI cannot replace is you, us, humanity, and the things that we use to connect with each other in our essence of being human, their emotions, their feelings. Your feelings are driven by your thoughts. Science tells us that when we have a single thought, maybe that thought could be, "Boy, I'm not really good at presentations." That thought is then sent to a nerve in your nervous system in the form of energy. That nerve interprets your thought and produces a chemical reaction across your central nervous system, and those create emotions, your feelings. So a single thought, maybe that thought happens before you go into a presentation. Well, now you're going to struggle through that presentation because you've told your subconscious you're going to struggle and the emotions follow afterwards, right? So emotionally connected customers have a 52% higher lifetime value. I've already mentioned that. If customers and your employees do not feel seen, heard, or understood, they'll find a competitor or another company that makes them feel that way. For example, here's my use case, Apple. We all know Apple. A lot of us have iPhones, or you've got an Apple computer at home. Apple doesn't just sell products. They sell emotion and identity. Their marketing and customer experience is rooted in connection. That's why customers line up for their products while other brands struggle to build loyalty. For example, in 1997, Apple did a marketing campaign called Think Different. It didn't showcase product specs. It actually celebrated bold thinkers and visionaries like Einstein, Gandhi, and Martin Luther King. It sent powerful emotional messages that if you think differently, Apple is for you. This framed Apple not as a tech company, but as a brand for creative, rebellious, and forward-thinking individuals. And it works because consumers, buyers align with brands that represent their values and aspirations. Apple made customers feel as part of their inclusive and innovative movement. We buy based on emotions. The big question is, how much revenue is your company losing because your team or your leadership is missing the emotional cues that are driving buying decisions from a prospect customer or a current customer? Decisions are not based in logic alone. Emotion drives action. If you don't manage the emotional component, you're missing your most powerful business lever. So let's talk about how we're going to identify emotional signals in customer conversations, whether it's pre-sale, whether it's onboarding, whether it's a long-term customer who's struggling to want to renew. We understand that recognizing emotions in conversations is crucial for addressing customer and employee needs effectively and building stronger relationships. If your team is only addressing objections and not emotions, you're losing deals you should be closing. You're losing customers that should be renewing, and you're losing really great employees that all they want is to be seen, valued, and heard. So, training your team to recognize emotionally charged words and phrases in regular interactions is a great way to start building that repertoire that your teams are going to use in their interactions, whether that's cross-functional or with it's a customer, right? So, some frustration or disappointing emotional indicators come in phrases like, I just don't understand why this keeps happening, or this isn't what I expected, or maybe I'm struggling to get this to work. If they're anxious or if there's uncertainty, they might use phrases like, I just want to be sure this is the right fit, or I don't want to make the wrong decision, or maybe it's, can you guarantee this will work for me? All of those statements, while they don't say, I feel this way, are giving you emotional indicators of how that individual is feeling. Now, if we talk about how do we identify positive indicators, excitement, or buy-in indicators, they might say something like, well, wow, this could be exactly what I need. Or this makes so much sense. Or I can see this working for us. When you miss these cues, whether they're negative or positive cues, it means you're missing opportunities to respond in ways that the conversation and relationship can move forward. Notably, EyesUp.com cites that 78% of consumers are willing to continue business with companies after a mistake is made if the customer service is excellent. Think about that. Customer service is not answering support tickets with solutions. Customer service is not showing up to a customer call and saying, "It's great to see you. It's been a couple of weeks since we talked. What's new? What's wrong? How can I help you? Nothing to say. Talk to you next week." Low EQ in customer-facing roles can lead to poor service recovery, resulting in lost customers and revenue. So, the big question everyone asks is how? We talk about strategy, we talk about execution, we talk about ideas, think outside the box. How are you going to approach making this big change in your organization? The one thing I want to really hone in on and call out is that building trust, identifying emotions in conversation, it is not an inherent skill. It's learned. It comes through listening to understand. It comes through mentoring and coaching. It comes through proactive engagement, because if we leave an employee to do what they know how to do, but they've never been trained in how to identify emotions in others, maybe they don't even know how to identify emotions in themselves, we're missing the whole point of why that employee is working for us and the work that they're required to do to meet all of your strategic objectives, to meet the revenue number that you're looking to hit this quarter. Losing customers, losing prospective deals. So let's talk about some of those cues that you might be looking for in an employee who's struggling, or maybe you have a leader who's struggling. First of all, an individual with low EQ, they focus on facts, not emotions. They could respond to problems with logic, but they don't actually acknowledge how another person is feeling. Excuse me. Customers or colleagues can express frustration, but this type of employee only offers a solution. They don't actually offer or lead with empathy. Those conversations with this individual might feel cold or transactional rather than engaged. So, for example, a customer might say, "I'm really frustrated that this issue hasn't been resolved." An employee with low EQ might respond by saying, "Well, technically, the system is working as designed. Have you tried it this way?" Without acknowledging that emotion within the customer's response, you're breaking the cycle and the conversation before it even starts by telling that customer you don't care. Another type of way to indicate that someone is struggling is that they struggle to adapt their tone or their body language. And we can see, based on my body language, I'm engaged, I'm looking forward, I'm smiling. You can hear that in my tone. But there are individuals that have no idea how to identify those things. Those individuals, they're going to miss sarcasm. They're going to overlook emotions of frustration or words of frustration, or even enthusiasms in conversations. Their response might sound robotic or misaligned with the customer or their team member's emotions. And they don't notice when a conversation is being tense or when a customer is losing patience. So, for example, a leader might say, "How's the team feeling after that major change?" An individual with low EQ might respond and say, "Well, they have no reason to complain. Everything is running as planned." By not acknowledging the potential of stress, anxiety, or resistance, especially within change management, you are missing the individual's emotional lack or lack of awareness on the temperature of what's actually happening. A lot of the time, individuals with low EQ feel unheard because they're not connected in tune with emotions. So sometimes they'll interrupt or fail to acknowledge concerns before they jump onto their own point. They're not listening to understand, they're listening to respond. Their conversations sometimes can feel one-sided because, again, they talk more than they listen. And they repeat the same answers instead of adjusting their approach based on the other person's emotions. I can't tell you how many times as a CSM I've sat in a situation in a customer conversation with a sales individual, and after giving the pitch, the customer responds with emotion, and the sales individual did not change their approach to explaining the offer to the customer, because they were not listening or engaging with emotions. I also want to call out that emotions within business is kind of a faux pas word. We don't want to talk about the way we feel. I think in today's society, we are also scared to talk about how we feel. Now, look, I'm not talking about sitting in a circle, holding hands, singing kumbaya. That is not what emotional intelligence is. Emotional intelligence is the ability to recognize your own emotions so that you can recognize and identify the emotions of other people. So if we're not in tune with our emotions, and if we don't accept the fact that every conversation we have includes emotions, a transaction is between a computer and a computer. In business, when there's another human being involved in the conversation, it's relational. It's always relational. Emotions are always present. So another sign that an individual might have low EQ is that they're going to dismiss or downplay emotions. So they're going to use minimizing language like, "Don't worry about it, you're overthinking it," or "It's not that big of a deal." They show discomfort when someone expresses strong emotions. I am a very passionate, emotional, direct, sometimes aggressive individual. I've had people misinterpret the way I present a lot in my career because I am so strongly open about my emotions. It initiates fear with people who are not emotionally intelligent to understand where my emotion is coming from. Sometimes these individuals rush through customer complaints or employee concerns instead of allowing space for emotions. Example, here's an example. A team member might say, "I'm really frustrated with how this project is going." An individual with low EQ might say, "You just need to relax. It's all going to work out." We're not acknowledging the frustration or the insecurity that our team member is feeling. We're dismissing it. And the last kind of really big cue is that they handle conflict poorly. Look, conflict in life is unavoidable. Conflict is not two people fighting. Conflict sometimes people think are two differing opinions. You voted for Trump, you didn't. Now we're in conflict. We've created this society that says if you disagree with me, you hate me. That's not true. I think we need to make more space for disagreements because if I don't understand where you're coming from, if I don't give you an opportunity to share what you're going through and why you have the perspective that you do, then I'm missing out on my own personal growth, connecting with you in a completely different way, and creating a psychological or emotional safe place to have a conversation. So if you're someone who struggles with conflict or you don't like to have conversations where people disagree with you, I would challenge you that that's an indicator of low emotional intelligence. My emotional intelligence is based on my own personal awareness. If I know who I am, if I know my morals and my values, if I know what my boundaries are, and I believe with all my heart the things that I've chosen to hold as my moral compass, then no matter the conversation I have with someone, what they think, how they feel, even how aggressive they might be in a conversation, I can stay rooted in empathy, in kindness and respect, because I've established my own emotional state of mind that will not be moved or changed by someone else's emotions, and I'm not threatened by someone else's emotions. Granted, I've been studying this for a long time. I've spent 14 years in CS. I've spent the last 5 years embedded in emotional intelligence, partnered with neuroscience and neurology when it comes to how your brain cognitively processes your thoughts, life, other people, how you approach life. So there's science behind all of this. But the point is that these cues are things that not only leaders need to take into consideration when you're looking at teams that are struggling to make quotas, that are seeing high turnover rates with customers and churn, or you're seeing a massive exodus of employees out of your company. A company has to be willing to look at the boots on the ground, the people that need to do the work to meet your sales quotas, to meet your annual revenue goals, to meet your renewal goals. If you're not giving your employees a safe place to be honest, to talk about their emotions, to be transparent with what they're going through, then you're going to see a massive loss in not just revenue, but in disengaged employees that cost you productivity. They take more vacation. They're sick more often. They might not be on video, on a webcam, or on a Zoom call. Their body language is going to tell you if they're disengaged or if they're frustrated. Their tone is going to get lower. They're going to shake their head. Their arms get crossed. Start to understand how to read body cues and tone of voice cues that tell you how someone is feeling. There's an old proverb that says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Well, it means that how I'm feeling can come out of my mouth, but how I'm feeling, whether I say how I'm feeling or not, is going to radiate from within. My body language, my tone, how I'm engaged are clear when I'm not engaged. So, what I'm trying to say is that you might think that you're hiding how you feel. If you're a leader and you're really frustrated, you don't like your team member, the meeting is going badly, and you think that you're hiding how you feel, I'm here to tell you, you're not. And you shouldn't. You should be aware of how you're feeling and address it in the moment. Meaning, if you're sitting in a customer call and that customer call is not going well, instead of feeling frustrated and overwhelmed, address that thought in your mind. Why am I frustrated? What am I asking of my team member that they're not delivering? How am I looking forward to what the outcome of this customer conversation is going to be? And maybe I need to step in and redirect it. But how you feel is written across your face, whether you like it or not. So let's talk about now. We've identified these cues in our employees. How are we going to help them learn how to recognize emotional cues? Well, first of all, we need to identify that you're coaching and training. You cannot hire an employee and throw them in the deep end and expect them to thrive, especially as the younger generations to come in. They have not been trained in emotional management. They have no idea how to recognize emotions in other people. So first, we're going to talk about active listening training. A friend of mine, Bob London, is a chief listening officer. He talks about active listening, and that is to pause, rephrase, and reflect back. So when someone says to you, man, I'm really frustrated that this launch is going so poorly, the response might be, well, I understand what you're telling me is you're frustrated that there's a delay, and I'd really like to talk about how we can fix this. Listening to understand versus listening to respond. And repeating what you hear the customer say, because when they say, yes, that's right, you're now on equal playing field. Sometimes we need to do role-playing scenarios. Practice makes perfect. Look, change and learning doesn't just happen up here. We have to get it out of our bodies. We have to get it out of our minds to make it real. And so when you role play with team members where you ask questions, you ask for rebuttals or overcoming objections, right? Having employees practice responding to different customer emotions, different team member emotions before they respond is how you're going to do that. So, one person might act as a frustrated customer, and the other person is going to practice acknowledging the emotion before they offer the solution. The echo and align method is also a really great way to do this. So, you're going to first repeat the emotional cue, like, it sounds like you're frustrated. Then, you're going to align with their perspective, meaning, I would really be frustrated if I were you as well. And then we offer the solution, let's find a way to fix this. Again, it's let's find a way. Not your need to, you do do or sorry, you need to do this, I need to do this. It's we are tackling this together, and I empathize with what you're going through, and I hear that you're frustrated so that I can act on that emotion and acknowledge that emotion. Another way is emotional labeling. We talked about the feeling wheel earlier today. It's something that I use all the time. When you ask someone how they feel and they're like, I'm fine, I'm a little overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I'm frustrated. Those are common words, but a lot of the time, those words don't accurately reflect how someone is feeling. So, the emotions wheel or the feelings wheel, and you can find this anywhere, gives a better breakdown of emotions that fall within categories instead of saying, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm happy, I'm excited. Identifying emotions in a practice is a really great way to get your team members comfortable and understanding how to recognize those cues that indicate the emotions that are being felt. So, if you go through something like this customer is being difficult, you're going to teach them to name that emotion. Meaning, maybe you say this customer sounds frustrated because they expected something different. Identifying those emotions is a critical part of this. And honestly, self-reflection and feedback is it needs to be surfaced more. We talk about feedback loops. We talk about giving employees feedback in one-on-ones, but have employees review real conversations or emails and identify where they missed emotional cues is how you're not only going to help that employee identify emotional cues they missed, but it gives you an opportunity to coach that employee of how they might be able to do things differently. So you could ask, what emotion do you think this person was feeling? And have an open, honest discussion. How you handle that conversation and give that individual space to get it wrong, and then be there to coach and mentor and guide them to the right answer is how you build loyalty. So, how are you all going to manage all of this together, right? A leader's role is not just to manage employees, it's to help them recognize the human side of business. If employees are not picking up on emotional cues in customers, colleagues, and team members, your bottom line is going to continue to suffer. So, action steps for you as a leader. First of all, you want to regularly observe how your team interacts with customers and colleagues. If you're a sales leader, if you're a customer success leader, and you don't sit in on employee calls, you're going to struggle. Provide immediate feedback and coaching. Because that's when they miss emotional cues, and that's when they're going to need to jump back in. And you're going to make emotional intelligence training a core part of professional development. My final thoughts on all of this is that every business leader says relationships matter, but how many are actually training their teams to build them? Leaders who fail to acknowledge emotions are losing influence. And we know that employees don't leave companies, they leave emotionally disconnected leaders.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.